chapter 5, Galatians 5. On the 28th day of April, you should have concluded, if you were going along with our program, reading through Paul's epistles. Now, if you just didn't do it at all, there's still some April bulletins back there on the table, and they have the reading schedule in there. So anytime you want to do this would be a good time. I think on Facebook I saw where in May some of the folks started reading through Genesis and Exodus, and I've been doing that as well. So, but at any rate, in reading through the epistles, I decided what I would do is just do some messages on Paul's epistles. And so we did that over three Sundays. We did Romans 1 week, 1 Corinthians the next, and 2 Corinthians the next. And obviously, I'm not going to take 13 weeks to do this, but some of these books take longer than others, and so today I am going to talk to you just about Galatians. Next Sunday, we'll be talking about Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. The week after that, we'll look at the two letters to the church at Thessalonica, and then we'll conclude the study with Paul's four epistles to preachers, Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Three preachers, but four epistles that he wrote. And we're just kind of using the broad brush approach to this. But I find it really interesting in studying and reading through Paul's epistles, not only the content of the epistles, but the very way that they're laid out in your Bible. The book of Romans, obviously, is a book that deals with justification by grace through faith alone, apart from the law. Paul shows us that all men are sinners, and that we're justified by faith. And because we're justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then when you get to Corinthians, those two letters deal with a church that seems to be having a very difficult time applying the grace of God to their life, because there's all kind of problems going on. And so Paul addresses those in both letters. In the second letter, he's kind of asking people to forgive those that he addressed in the first letter that were doing wrong. So he's writing to a church about basically a lot of things in relation to their physical behavior, their outward behavior. When you get over to Galatians, Paul addresses a very distinct doctrinal problem. And that doctrinal problem has to do with the message of salvation, the message of grace. And in that letter, Paul vindicates the message that he preached and his apostleship as well. The reason I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 5 is that I believe this verse would really summarize the theme of the entire book. In Galatians 5 verse 6, he says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Now that would really kind of set the stage for the theme of the book of Galatians, and that is, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. This letter was written during the book of Acts, obviously, and there are different opinions about who the letter is really addressed to. There's two groups and generally two lines of thought. Some say it's written to Jews that have heard Paul's message but reverted back to the law. Others say that it's written to Gentiles who were being troubled by Jews. I would say it was written to both. The reason being is if there were somebody there at Galatia, and there was, telling people that they need to be circumcised, you can pretty well guess who that was. I mean, it's not Gentiles, because it's the Jew that believed that without circumcision, a person couldn't be saved. So Paul is addressing not only those that were being troubled and taught this wrong doctrine, but also those that are teaching it. Now, if you go back to chapter 1, we'll see that. Notice there in chapter 1, in verse 1, "Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead." Now, you see, we read that and we just think, well, that's just Paul's introduction. But it goes beyond that. Notice Paul says, Paul an apostle, and then there's a parenthesis. He doesn't just say, Paul an apostle, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. He inserts that, not of men, neither by man. Why is that important? Well, it is obvious when you read through Paul's epistles, particularly 1 and 2 Corinthians, that there are those that are questioning Paul's authority and his apostleship. And so he says over and over again, he asks a question, we read it last week, or 2 weeks ago. Am I not an apostle? Have I not suffered like these other apostles have? And so Paul is once again vindicating, authenticating, if you will, his apostleship, that it was not of men, neither by man. As a matter of fact, when you get down to verse 11, notice what he says. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is very important because that sets Paul's ministry apart from that of the 12. Where did the 12 learn their message? They learned everything from Jesus Christ during that 3 years. Now, did they receive additional information? Yes, after his death, burial, and resurrection, Christ spent 40 years, not quite that long, 40 days and 40 nights with the apostles, teaching them things concerning the kingdom. And yet, after that, in Acts 1, they still ask him, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He says, it's not for you to know. The point is that when we get to the end of Acts, the next 13 epistles in your Bible are from the Apostle Paul. And Paul says in the very first one, I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the Apostle of the Gentiles. Jesus Christ, when he sent out the 12, he said, go not into the way of the Gentiles, nor into any city of Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So you can argue with it, you can confront it all you want to, but the fact is, the Word of God says that Paul is the Apostle of the Gentiles. Now, if you're confused about whether you're a Jew or Gentile, you might have a problem. But if you're a Gentile, you can be assured that you have 13 books in this Bible that are written directly to you. Are we to read all the Bible? Absolutely. Is all the Bible equally inspired? Absolutely. But Paul was given the dispensation of the grace of God, and he was given the revelation of mystery, and he was given the ministry to the Gentiles, and that's why he said what he did. So he starts out this letter to the Galatians with these very important facts that he is an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. So that vindicates his apostleship, his authority, and his ministry of proclaiming this gospel of the grace of God. Now, notice down in verse 6, and we won't be able to read all the verses, obviously, so let's get right to the heart of the matter. Verse 6, Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So Paul had been there. He had preached the grace of Christ, the grace of God, if you will. And somebody had come behind him and told them and tried to remove them from that gospel. You might remember that we pointed out in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled thee through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. He's talking about the gospel. And he says in that passage that if any man preach any other Jesus, another gospel, or another spirit, you might well bear with him. In other words, don't accept it. Bear up against it. Resist it. Later in that chapter, he says, such are false apostles, deceitful workers, and so forth. So Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. And you know, when I read that, I think about and marvel at how that still happens today. How could a person see and understand salvation by grace, and then allow somebody to place them under the law of Moses given to the nation Israel. Well, I can tell you how it happens. It's because man's pride wants to do something in his flesh in order to be acceptable to God. And as Vince so pointed out so well this morning, we are in Christ Jesus. He sees us in His Son. Now notice what he says. He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed him that called you in the grace of Christ into another gospel. But notice what he says, which is not another. Now why does he say that? Well, the word gospel is good news. What they were being told was not good news. If somebody came through that door back there and said, have you heard the good news? You know what the question would be. What good news? Well, if you are telling people they've got to do something in their flesh to get saved or stay saved, I got news for you. That's not good news. You know why? Because the flesh is weak. The greatest news I could tell you today is the truth of God's word right and divided, and that is if you're saved, you've been sealed under the day of redemption, and you are not going to lose your salvation. Say, what if I go out and get drunk? What if I do drugs? What if I commit adultery? That's all works of the flesh, and your flesh was never saved in the first place. Your spirit was. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that man that was committing fornication, he said, put him out. Don't have anything to do with him. Deliver him unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the fact is that salvation is by grace, but there were those that were, it's not another gospel what they're doing. They're perverting the gospel of Christ. That's what he says. There be some that trouble you and would pervert, that is distort, pervert the gospel of Christ. Now notice the seriousness of this. He said, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now, you get down to verse 11. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. Just in case there are some people new or listening here this morning or on the internet, let's establish, first of all, without a doubt, what is that gospel that Paul's talking about. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We won't spend a lot of time here. I know that you're familiar with this, most of you. But Paul makes reference. He never makes reference to the gospel by saying a gospel. It's always the gospel. Paul calls it the gospel of the grace of God. He calls it the gospel of Christ. And the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel of peace. But notice what he says in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now that's the good news, folks. And you can't find a single work of the individual in that gospel. It's all about what God did through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, and He was raised again the third day. So what does a person have to do? How much do they have to know to get saved? What we just read there. But it's not just knowing the historical facts. It's believing them and receiving the free gift of salvation. The gift doesn't become yours until you receive it. And that's the point of salvation. So when did you receive it? Well, the Galatians, they had heard the message. They had received it, but somebody came behind Paul and was preaching something different. Now notice, back in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. What did Paul say in Corinthians? I delivered unto you first of all that which I also what? Received. He received this gospel by revelation. Verse 13. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the region of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which he once destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Then he goes through talking about, get out of chapter 2, then 14. By the way, all that we just read, Paul is again showing he didn't learn what he heard from the 12, or what he preached from the 12. He didn't go up to Jerusalem, consult with it. He didn't have to, folks. He received the revelation. God told him, I'm going to make you a minister to the Gentiles, to kings, and to Israel, and so forth. And he revealed unto Paul. Paul didn't have to go up and consult with them. He did later on. And notice what he says in chapter 2. He references this. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. Now this is 14 years afterwards. And I went by revelation. Now notice what he did. And communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares, brought in, who came in privately to spout our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection? No, not for an hour. Why? That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. See, let me show you what happened. Go back, hold on here and go back to Acts 15. In Acts chapter 15, now, it's interesting, and let me just throw this in here for time, because of time's sake. When they wanted to circumcise Titus, as Paul said there, neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. The reason? Because of false brethren who came in privately, despite our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus. He said, we didn't give place to them. Had we done so, the truth of the gospel would not have continued. It would have been corrupted. Now, when Timothy got saved, you know what happened? Timothy got circumcised. But you know what the Bible says? Because of the Jews that were in those quarters. You see, you have to be very careful about trying to follow Paul in the book of Acts. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul said, to the Jew I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jew. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might win them who are under the law. So the Apostle Paul had a very unique and very difficult ministry early in the book of Acts. But when Paul went and preached unto people, he never compromised the message that had been given to him by revelation. And thus he preached the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Christ, to those at Galatia. Notice what he says. Notice what the Bible says in Acts 15. In Acts 15, verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Now notice down in verse 5, but there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and command them to keep the law of Moses, and Paul would not submit unto that for a moment. Because had he done so, in that particular instance, the truth of the gospel would not have continued. As so with Titus. Now go back to Galatians 2. Galatians 2. He says in verse 5, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. Why? That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Now notice what he says in verse 6. I love this. I love the boldness. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God respecteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Now I want to ask you something. If those up at Jerusalem were preaching the same gospel that Paul was preaching, number one, why would he have to go up there and communicate unto them that gospel that he was preaching among the Gentiles? Well, he had to because they weren't preaching the same gospel. We just read in Acts 15 what they were saying. They were saying, except a man be circumcised, he cannot be saved. You see, if you want to read through the book of Acts real slow, you'll find about six different ways that people got saved. I mean, six different acts that were involved in salvation, not different ways. I mean, it starts in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for remission of sins. Acts 15, except you be circumcised, you cannot be saved. What was the evidence? Baptism of the Holy Ghost. I mean, all those things are in the book of Acts. And then we begin to see Paul's ministry unfold in the book of Acts, and it changes as it progresses. That's because Christ said, you're going to be a minister of the things that I have shown unto thee and the things I will show unto thee. Because Paul had to go to the Jew first. And he did when he went into a town. He went into the synagogue. But you know who he was preaching to in those synagogues? He was preaching to Jews that had rejected the fact that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And they had blasphemed. And the only way they could be saved was the same way Paul the blasphemer was saved. By believing the gospel of the grace of God. And listen folks, that's the only way anybody can be saved today. Is by believing the gospel of the grace of God. You can't be saved by believing the gospel of Acts 2:38. Notice what he says. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. And by the way, that does not say the gospel to the circumcision and the gospel to the uncircumcision. It's the gospel of. The gospel of the uncircumcision is the gospel that Paul preached. Verse 8, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Now, people, if you that want to dispute the truth that we're trying to present here this morning, we'll say, listen, Paul said he was preaching the gospel of the uncircumcision. He made an agreement that he would go to the heathen and they would go to the circumcision, and yet after this was written, Paul still went to the Jew. Well, remember what I said just a moment ago? Once a Jew rejected the message that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, during the book of Acts, that Jew, it was basically, it was three strikes and they were out. They remember what Jesus said, Matthew 12? He said that all sin, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven you, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven you in this world nor the world to come. And it could not be forgiven under that kingdom gospel. So what happened? Paul blasphemed, said he did in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Said he was a blasphemer. So God, because Israel as a nation had rejected them, and only the little flock had received that message, and they're preaching it there in Jerusalem, and there are the multitude of Jews are rejecting it. Some believe, but most don't. Well, once they reject it, And by the way, on the day of Pentecost, there were Jews from every nation, the Bible says. And they either accepted the message or they didn't accept it. And they went back. And so when Paul goes to these towns, he goes into the synagogue. And if you want to read what happens in some instances, read Acts chapter 21. What happened to Paul when he went in the synagogue? There's a bunch of Jews from Asia came over there and said, "This man is blaspheming." And when he says that he was sent to the Gentiles, they wanted to stone him to death. The point in all that is this, folks, is that Paul's message and ministry was separate and distinct from that of the 12. And if you don't understand that, you're going to be always confused about salvation. So he says, they should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. There were still those of the circumcision who could be saved, added to that little flock by Peter's ministry. And Paul would go to the uncircumcision, all those that had rejected, and the Gentiles as well. Now, there's a situation occurs here. I'm just going to read this quickly because I don't have time to get into all the details of it. But verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried about with their dissimulation, that is, hypocrisy. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if you being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You see, Paul is trying to tell them, listen, even in the dispensation you're under, you're not going to be justified by keeping the law. Men have been trying that for hundreds of thousands of years, and it didn't work. So notice what Paul says in verse 20. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So when you get over to chapter 3, you find that Paul is trying to explain to them justification by faith. In the first part of it, he says there in verse chapter 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? And then Paul uses Abraham to show them, like he did in Romans, that he says there, even as Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. Then he goes down and talks about the law. Look there in verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. He said, listen, even Abraham was justified by faith. And he said, you can't be justified by the law. And he continues that all the way down through chapter 3. He says in verse 26, for you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Then he goes down to chapter 4 and he uses the analogy there of the schoolmaster and the adoption and so forth. Then you get down to chapter 4, verse 12. Look in verse 8. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You see what the law does, folks? It puts people in bondage. And he said, you were under that one time, which no doubt that could be reference to Jews. It could also be Gentiles who were involved in idol worship. Whatever it was, they were in bondage to it. And they'd gotten saved, and then they went back to it. Does that sound familiar? People get saved today many times and will then go right back into a system that puts them in bondage and tells them, listen, if you don't tithe, if you don't give your money, God's not going to bless you. The blessings of God today have nothing to do with you tithing, keeping the law, or going to church or anything else. The Bible says you've already been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. But religion wants to keep people under their thumb. So they put these laws out there and these rules and these restrictions. And they say, if you don't do this and this and this, then, oh, you might be saved. But you're probably not. Like people, you know, well, we've been called to be fruit inspectors. And you can look at a person's life and tell whether they're saved or not. No, you can't. Sorry, folks. I want to tell you something. There's some times going down the highway that people see me and they won't believe I'm saved. About 2 weeks ago, on a Saturday afternoon, I got a knock on the door. A little girl came and said, Mr. Atwood, Mr. Steve, a dog has killed your cat. And I went out there. And if that dog had not been already put up, that dog would have been dead today. And when the lady came to get her dog, I will confess to you, after all, you know, it's good, confession's good for the soul. I didn't show a whole lot of charity. I have since written to her and apologized for not doing so. But I didn't that day. I didn't feel saved. I didn't act saved. I didn't look saved. I was mad. I was hurt. I was upset. And you know what happens when that happens? Your flesh takes over. That's why Paul tells us right here in Galatians chapter 5, walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What am I saying to you folks? These people at Galatia, somebody had convinced them that there was something they needed to do in their flesh, be circumcised, and they had gone back to the weak and beggarly elements and been put under bondage. I can tell you, the greatest thing in the world about knowing God's grace is, first of all, is salvation, and second is the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. To know that we're free from the law. Free from the law, happy condition. Free from the law. Free from the bondage that comes about by people teaching false doctrine in this dispensation of the grace of God. Look down what he says in verse 21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Think about that. People that desire to be under the law, they need to ask, do you not understand what you're saying? Well, James said, if you offend in one point, you're guilty of all of it. And then you get down to chapter 5. We're going to have to move on. I know that we're just covering this. And what I'm doing on purpose is skipping the hard verses. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just trying to give an overview, folks. I'm trying to give an overview of what's going on here at Galatia. And the great, I mean, regardless of all the little details, the great truth here is that people were back under bondage, as many people are today. So what does Paul say in chapter 5, verse 1? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. That's a pretty strong statement. In other words, I see in that, if you're trusting in your circumcision, then Christ is of no value to you. And I see that today in any kind of work that's involved in salvation. If you're trusting in anything other than the finished work of Jesus Christ, then what Christ did is of no value. Why would God have had to send his son and die such a terrible death at Calvary and then turn around and require us to do something to obtain the benefit of what he already accomplished? Well, he wouldn't. Paul says, I testify again to every man that is circumcised, if he's a debtor, to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. That little leaven of doctrine Paul's talking about there, it just gets in and spreads like leaven in bread. And it causes the whole thing to be corrupted. He says in verse 13, For brethren, you've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So, well, see, then you've got to refrain from doing those things. What did he say those things were? Works of the flesh. Well, notice what he says down in verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Remember what Paul wrote earlier? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. What does it mean to crucify the flesh? It doesn't mean to just quit doing sinful things, folks. Because nobody's done that. There are people today who say, well, I've never sinned since the day I was saved. Well, they're just lying. They're deceived. The fact is, our flesh sins. And it sins on a regular basis. But what Paul is talking about here, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh, is that they came to a point in their life where they quit trusting their flesh to be saved. And that's the whole context. They're no longer trusting in their circumcision. They're no longer trusting. Paul said he was a Jew of all Jews. He said, I was a Pharisee, as touching the law, blameless. The tribe of Benjamin, all these things he listed. But you know what he said he did with all those things? He said, those things I counted dung that I might win Christ. We crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof by trusting in Jesus Christ as our Savior and quit depending upon the flesh for salvation. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Read it sometime. Now notice the last chapter. The last chapter, chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Now notice what he says. In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What was that? Love thy neighbor as thyself. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now notice down in verse 12. And to me this is really the epitome of the whole thing. I mean the whole book rests on these last verses. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. You know what that tells me? If you will add works to salvation, you will cease the suffering. That's what they were doing. they were adding circumcision to salvation so that they would not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. But notice what he says in verse 13, and how true this is today. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, what? That they may glory in your flesh. You see, they were able to say, look at our converts. Look at how many people we've got into the religion over here. And they're all circumcised and they're good people and they're keeping the law. And then the next three words, verse 14, but God forbid. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Folks, that should be the mantra of every one of us today. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you, what is it you have to glory in? Do you glory in the fact that you don't do this or you don't do that? And I'm not saying that wouldn't be a good thing to be proud of yourself for resisting things. But you see what he's talking about there. People that glory in their flesh generally believe that something about their flesh was good enough that God saved them. I love what Brother Brian said last Sunday morning. You know, the benefit of having other preachers is you hear things put in their words that you may have never heard before. And when he gave that simple illustration of what grace was, when he said that grace was God saving him, knowing before he ever did it what a complete failure he would be. That's grace. That's me, that's you, that's every one of us, folks. Because if we got what we deserved, we would all be burning in a devil's hell right now. But God sent his Son, and that his Son went to Calvary and hung there and bled and suffered and died and cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the Bible says that God made him to be sin for us. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Vince was talking this morning about the regeneration and that kind of thing. And I thought about, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. A creature, something that's made. God made us righteous. We're a creation in Christ Jesus. And we have nothing to glory in. Nothing to glory in save the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And I thank God this morning, I thank God every day for the cross of Calvary, because my sins were taken care of there. Jesus Christ died for my sins, and the Bible said he took the law and he nailed it to his cross. He took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Not only did he forgive us our sins, he took the very document out of the way that could condemn us, because the knowledge of sin came through the law. And today we're free from the law, and we don't ever want to be like the Galatians and get involved in a perverted message that distorts the truth of the gospel. You know what distorts the truth of the gospel? Adding one single work to salvation. That's all it takes to distort it and to pervert it. Salvation by grace is a free gift. And it's up to us to either receive it or reject it. If you've never received it, this morning, by the grace of God, receive the free gift of salvation. Be transformed from death unto life. Be regenerated in a heartbeat. Be made one with Christ. Be baptized into the body of Christ by the Spirit of God. And be blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. My only question would be, why would you not receive it? God provided it. Why would you not receive it? Do that this morning. Would you stand me for prayer?